Paul's letter to the church at Rome, 12th chapter and the 12th verse. If it sounds familiar, it is, because for the last couple of weeks we have been preaching from this one passage. Just lets you know that there is so much to the Word of God that one passage can keep you filled up for a good time. And here's the Word of God. It says to be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Romans 12 and 12. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. I want to preach today from the sermonic title, Keys to a Productive Life, Part 3. Keys to a Productive Life, Part 3. As we recap from the last couple of weeks, we have certainly been following Paul the Apostle, one of the great theologian writers, church founders of our time. In fact, the better part of the New Testament, those 27 books, are written by Paul. Paul had quite the testimony. He was a rascal at one point, chasing down Christians and making sure that they got the name out there so they could be punished. And then he met the Lord one day on the Damascus Road, and life changed. Have you met the Lord in a place that he changed your life, changed your direction, changed your path? And so he writes oftentimes from prison just to encourage those on the outside about the goodness of the Lord. This letter to the church at Rome was to encourage them. It was to let them know that they could make it. And so he writes just in this one verse. He says, I ask that you might be joyful in hope, patient in affliction. We talked last time that affliction, a tribulation, is something that nobody signs up for. Nobody volunteers for hard times. Nobody says, why not me? Am I next for the trouble that may come your way? But, you know, trouble does not last always. That in the midst of what you're going through, somehow you can remain calm. Folks say, now how in the world did you get through that? I just leaned on the Lord. Amen. Anybody ever been through something, and as you look back over your life now and say, Lord, had it not been for you, I would not be where I am today. It's because I had to endure some hard times. Had to endure some backbiting. Had to endure some jealousy, but yet I stand on the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we talk about joyful hope. Their hope was in short supply because the early church faced persecution. They couldn't come on a parking lot and say, let's have church. They would have been arrested. Some folk out here in law enforcement, they'd have been locked up if they did not have the freedom to bless the Lord. Amen? The freedom to say, you know what? I can let folk know how I believe and what I believe and feel real good about it. And so we move today to wrap up this series to talk really about the challenge of being faithful in prayer. Faithful in prayer. And right now I can smell the restaurant back behind us. Man, don't y'all smell breakfast? Yeah, right on the other side of the woods, there's a restaurant there. I don't want to advertise them, but man, I smell bacon. I smell potatoes and grits. But thank God for this spiritual food. You know, prayer is another key to that productive Christian life. Matthew 16, 19, when Jesus, he is encouraging Peter. He says, on this rock I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And then he says, I give to you the keys to the kingdom of heaven, that what you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and what you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. That for prayer to be used effectively, I believe there must be a purpose and there must be a place, and there has to be a pattern of prayer. What is the purpose of prayer? Why do I need to pray? Things are fine where they are. I got a nice job and got a nice ride, and you know, got friends and plenty of money in the bank, and everything's okay. So I don't see the need to pray. Pray for what? And some people feel that way. They don't see the need to pray. And to pray is to acknowledge God and who He is. To pray is to praise God and to thank Him. Let me just pause for a moment. Didn't you learn coming up to say thank you? Thank you has gotten lost. Folks now just say bye. You know, I mean, the courtesy of saying thank you for all the things that God has done for you, all the things He continues to do for you, and to express our love for Him. After all, God so loved the world that He sent what? His only begotten Son to die for us. But to pray is also to come into the presence of the Lord. Ever got lost in your prayer? You came with a list that was 9 pages long, and once you got into prayer, the Spirit of God began to work in you. Some of y'all smiling, and the prayer went over there. You and Sister Susie wasn't getting along, but the Holy Spirit said you ought to pray for her. Don't get ready to fight, but pray. Amen. And so we come to be in the presence of the Lord. We're not telling Him anything that He does not know. Like, surprise, I'm going through. He says, I know. But I want to sup with you. I want to spend time with you. And we pray to ask for wisdom. We all have decisions to make. And when our little education run out and our gut feeling run out, what are we going to do as it relates to, Lord, what do you think about this? Not what everybody else thinks, but what do you think about a decision I'm trying to make? He said, well, it's a big decision. All decisions are big. Amen. And there are times in moments of tragedy and moments of trouble and moments of disappointment and moments of fear that we just pray on the spot. Everybody said, oh, Lord, thank you. Or, oh, Lord, I need you right this moment. I don't have the opportunity to say, let me get myself together, get my prayer candle. No, you just say, Lord, I need Thee right now. Anybody ever been in that situation where you had to just say, you know what? I don't really have the time to do a long prayer. And not that anybody has me on the clock, but just even to say, Lord, thank you. Or, Lord, I need you for bringing me through this situation. It is important to be faithful in prayer. Paul writes to the church at Thessalonica. He says, pray without ceasing. In other words, every chance you get, just pray. Now let's do a little half exercise. I know you're there and I'm here. But you know, I can feel your prayers. Old mother would say, Lord, help the preacher. I mean, as you pray, as we pray, the Lord will give us what we need in this time of exchange. I don't have to hear you praying for me, but I can feel your prayers. Amen? Oh, let me say that again. I can feel your prayers. I don't know who you are. I don't know when you pray, but I can feel the prayers of the righteous. And the Bible says they avail, but thank you. I just felt that prayer you sent my way. Blessed be the God. And we come today with this mindset. Matthew 11:28, Jesus says, come unto me, all you who are labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He won't pull you into prayer. He won't force you into prayer, but prayer is something that you got to want to do. Let me back that up for a minute. He won't call you and say, you better come on and pray. He won't push or kick you to pray, but life will force you to your knees. Amen. Things will say, you know what? I done tried everything else. I might as well just pray. Whereas prayer ought to be the first thing that we think of. Sometimes it's the last thing. You've tried the 5-step plan. You've tried the formula. You've tried the me in 5 years. And look at you now. But when you begin to lift up to the Lord, say, Father, I need you. Father, I stretch my hands to Thee. No other help I know. Won't something happen? Oh, come on now. Something will happen when you pray. And when God answers, you say, wait a minute. And sometimes we forget. So he done asked that already. Having this purpose, the why of prayer. But what about the place of prayer? Where? The location, your spot. It could be home. It could be behind the wheel of your car. Some of y'all car prayers. They think you, folk think you crazy. You had the light and you just prayed in there. What's wrong with her? I got tenant windows, or sometimes they don't know. Being in heaven church and praying to God. No, but that's okay. You can pray in your car. There's nothing that says you can't pray in your car. At your desk. Amen. In church. But the assignment is the same. Where is the place for you? The story is told of some early African converts who were on fire for the Lord. And they would go out into the thicket. Let's just say something like this behind us. And they find their path and be in their place. And that's what they did. And along the way, life gets busy and you get off of your prayer schedule. And somebody in the group said, wait a minute, you've not been praying. How do you know? Because the grass has grown up in the path that you normally walk to head to prayer. Don't let the grass come around your prayer life. Don't let anybody or anything stop you from lifting up your voice to a mighty God. Find your place. Matthew 6:6, Jesus said, but when thou prayest, enter into that closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and he'll see, will reward you openly. Amen? He practiced this. Mark 1:35, the Bible says Jesus got up early in the morning, before dark, and went to a solitary place to pray. Everybody don't have to know your prayer spot. Amen? It's not their business. She's been in the bathroom for an awful long time. I wonder what's wrong. None of your business. She's been gone for a while. I wonder what they're doing. None of your business. There's somebody in this congregation I see oftentimes out running, and he just praising the Lord. No, he ain't waving at you. He's running and praising. And so wherever you find your spot, just lift up a word unto the Lord. It was a secret place and a quiet place, that it is the place where you meet God, wherever that place is, to meet him there. Amen? This sense of having a place to pray. You can pray wherever you are. And this closet thing is real. You know, come on to my room, that you know you might clear some stuff out. And say, I know I won't be bothered in this place, but I want to pray. To be faithful in prayer. To be constant in prayer. To be persistent in prayer. A place, the purpose, and then a pattern. It is something that we do over and over again. Your prayer is not like my prayer. Some folk have a warm-up prayer. My warm-up prayer is the Lord's Prayer. But then I'll go on from there. Or I may have an opportunity, Lord, say, no, I need you to start this way. But however you all work it out, just pray. Amen? The disciples were concerned. They said, we want to pray like John's disciples. He said, well, let me help you out then. Matthew 6:9 says, when you pray, say, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And check this out. Prayer is two-way communication. Always keep the lines open. Clear your mind and your heart so that you might have the right connection with heaven. It's not always about what we say. Now, let me just say, I'm in the talking crowd. That's my business. I talk for a living. Amen? But there are times when you need to just listen. Let me say it again. Just listen in prayer. Martin Luther, that great theologian, says, the fewer the words, the better the prayer. In fact, studies have shown that we spend less than half of our time listening. We want to talk. And I love the song, Have a Little Talk with Jesus. But every now and then, listen to Jesus to see what he is saying to you. I love the book that was mentioned, and I found the source. I'd always talked about flash prayers. And you all know I've used that many a times, where you can just be driving along. Frank Laubach, this great theologian, talked about how he would start something. He'd just go and start praying for somebody. And they wouldn't even know it. He'd just look at them. start praying. And then see the reaction. Amen? I tried that this week. I was on Northern Parkway. I said, you know what? I'm behind this car. I don't know who's in there. But I said, Father, in the name of Jesus. And I begin to pray for those in the car in front of me. And they made the light. I said, well, praise God. I didn't have to go like on my horn. Or, you know, some of y'all got that rage. Move. And I just prayed. And man, traffic went smooth. But even now, just try a flash prayer. Even now, look around, and you may not know the person's name, but look at them and just do a flesh prayer. Hallelujah. Just say, you know what? I don't have to tell you I'm praying for you, but as I look at you, I'm whispering a word of prayer in the name of Jesus. I'm praying that your week might be a good week. I'm praying that the thing you've been praying for, that God has given you clarity. So I'm praying, and you can look at someone. They ain't got to know you. Just walk through the store and just say, They think you ain't got to move your lips, just begin to pray. Amen? When Hannah prayed, they thought she was crazy, thought she was drunk, because she was just moving her lips. They said, oh, she's crazy. No, you're not crazy. You know what it means to get a prayer through. You ain't lost it. You know the God you serve will bring you through. You're not crazy. You know that God will bring you through. Anybody know that today? That you've seen the results of prayer? You've tried the pattern of prayer, and it's made a difference in your life. Songwriter says, I am thine, O Lord. I've heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. I've heard thy voice. In the midst of my trouble, I heard something that gave me clearance that I could make it. In the midst of my down moment, I prayed and I heard the Lord says, you can make it. What's that, Reverend? Does he speak that way? Yes, he sure can. Amen? He can speak audibly. He can speak through his word. He can speak through other persons. But the fact that I heard his voice and it told thy love for me. Amen? It says, draw me nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer to thy bleeding side. Oh, it just got gory, didn't it? Yeah, the bleeding side is real because he shed his blood for us. The bleeding side is something you ought to picture for a moment, because he went to the cross and he died to give his life for us. He went to the cross. And that's what the bleeding side represents. That Father, you sacrificed when you sent Christ, who died for me. Even on the cross, he prayed for those. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And even today, I believe that Christ is sitting at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for the saints, praying for you and for me. Be faithful in prayer. Let nothing get between you and your time of prayer. Well, the day done gone now. Pray. It done got to be late in the evening. Pray. It's midday and I'm blessing my lunch a little longer than I normally bless it. Pray. Just pray. As we come today, we thank God for this line of communication. Have you tried him lately? Oh, song said Jesus is on the main line. Tell him what you want. You need more power? Tell him what you want. Express it. You need more hope? Express. No, don't be ashamed and nervous. Just tell him. He already knows, but he wants us to say, come to me. What is your prayer today? As we bow over this place, Father, we come in the name of Jesus. We've not always been faithful in prayer. We've hit and we've missed. And life has driven us to a place to call out to you. But we come today voluntarily. Say, I just need you to guide me. I need you to give me your comfort and your peace and your joy. And I come not on my behalf, but on behalf of others. Pray for my children, one by one and name by name. And pray for my neighborhood. Pray, dear God, for those in the workplace. Pray for those I've never met before, but I'm praying for all the Johns and all the Peters and all the Susans all over the world. You know what we're going through. As we come today, it is our prayer to pray for those who don't have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray. The Bible says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our hearts that God is raising from the dead, the Bible says, thou shalt be saved. Somebody today needs prayer. Father, I pray even now that you might change their heart. That you might give them clarity today to know that prayer is real. Results are real. I ask it even now in the name of Jesus. And just as a practice, I want to pray for you. And traditionally you would say, come to the altar. Folks, I wonder what they got going on. They went to the altar today. I wonder. You have to go anywhere today. Right where you sit today. I want to pray for you. Some of you, I know your stories. Many of you, I don't. But as I bow today, it is my prayer. Father, we come today. And for every situation, we pray, we stand in the gap for that family going through with the loved one, that family, dear God, struggling to get by week to week, that family where there's strife in the marriage, that family that is having some challenges on the workplace, that person who already had in their mind that come Monday, they're gonna get it. Lord, I pray that the decision they make might be one that lines up with you. God, I pray for this body of believers. I pray that there might be a cloud over this place of prayer. Pray, dear God, that you might bless every inch of this property, this land, that those who walk on it might know that no matter what it was, it's now a place of prayer. Pray for this building, make it a house of prayer. And for the homes in which we're reaching, God, I pray even now, start in the basement, if there's one, and work to the ceiling in the name of Jesus today. God, we just pray. We just pray. We pray, we pray, we pray, because we know that you answer prayer. We pray, we pray, we pray, because God, you've done it before.